Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yeah, well, I'm in a hotel room in Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, you come to these hotels. I'm trying to, what time is it here? It's 7 o'clock. I don't want to make a bunch of noise in a hotel room. I try to get over in the far corner. Where do you go? Does anybody know where do you go in a hotel room that you don't bother the neighbors? I thought maybe I'll turn on the TV, but that won't help. Well, there'll be background noise next door, but at least it's 7 o'clock, not 6 o'clock like it was when I got up. And we had a wonderful time last night. I'll talk about that. Come with a really kind of a very, very heavy heart this morning. Jeff Klein's pastor, Pastor Bill Dunphy, we all know who Pastor Bill is. His 4-year-old grandson was killed in a farm accident last night, involving, you know, without going into the details of it, his father. They were out evidently on a tractor. I don't know what happened. So I don't want to speculate, but a tractor rollover or something. I don't know. Must have crushed the little guy. They life flighted him. Pastor Bill and his family, they live out quite a ways. So, you know, they called the emergency squad originally, and it's going to take where they are. It's going to take a while for them to get there. And then when they get there and they saw what they were dealing with, then they called in a helicopter, and the helicopter came in. And from what my understanding, this is all secondhand information for me, life flighted him to, I don't know, it doesn't matter where they life flighted him. And he didn't make it. And so I have that very, very heavy heart today, because I don't know if I know a sweeter guy than Jeremy, little boy's daddy. Sweeter guy. I don't know if I know a sweeter guy. And I would just pray that all of you out there today would just lift up that entire family, the Dunphy family, Bill and Connie, and the whole family. Little 4-year-old, sweet little guy. Makes us wonder, doesn't it? I mean, we would be less than honest if we, in times like this, we didn't say, Lord, what the heck's going on? What's going on? As if one life is more precious than another life. And I was listening to what Jeff was saying before I came on this morning. What has happened to us that we don't really even love our children anymore? I mean, we do. Listen, you know what I'm saying? We love our children. But America as a people, we don't love our children anymore. We don't. And then you see a wonderful, God-fearing Christian family like that. The model of what anybody wouldn't want for their children to be. And see this tragedy befall them. That's one of those things that make a guy an atheist, isn't it? You know, the argument that atheists make, it's really pretty profound, the argument that they make. They said God is either not all powerful or he's not all good. And that's a tough one, isn't it? If God is all powerful, why does that happen to that wonderful family? And if he's all good, why would he ever permit something like that to happen? That's one of the atheists' greatest argument. It's one, sometime I'm going to sit on the, Lord and I are going to be sitting around fishing, although I don't fish, he does. He fishes better than me. I'm going to say, Lord, what the heck was that one about? What was that about? And of course, you know, we say, well, coach, that's what our faith is all about. And his grace is sufficient and his mercy will carry us through. And that's all true. Lord, why'd that have to happen? And I think that it's situations like this. This isn't going to happen to the Dunphy family. But these are the kind of things that turn men's hearts away from the Lord. The mysteries of life. Why would that happen to that wonderful little boy? That wonderful Christian family. So we just trust the Lord, huh? What does that even what does that even mean? I trust you, Lord. And my son's gone. I'm supposed to trust you. That's a nitty-gritty, down and dirty facts about Christianity sometimes, friends. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. And I don't think, if we're honest, many of us understand those things. So I just pray that you would embrace Pastor Bill and his family today. And Jeff, I'm just going to let you say something because this is Jeff's family. And Jeff, any additional thing to add there, brother?
Coach, I just want to say the power. You always talk about assembling. We were on the phones putting the message out because nobody could do the call them all. As a matter of fact, it's usually Lisa or one of them in the Dunphy family do the call them all. They couldn't do the call them all. So we were on hammering it. And, man, we had people praying, and then we just all decided – Pastor Kyle, Pastor Bill's son, called me up bawling. And they said they're going to do a prayer vigil at the church. We were there by about 6 o'clock last night until about, I think we got home at 10:30 or 11. But we filled that sanctuary. I mean, everybody came. And we got to pray over every one of these family members, the little kids. I walked in and Benjamin, Pastor Bill's oldest grandson, he's like 14 now, just bawling. Just wrapped that little boy in my arms. He's a young man now. He just looking at me saying, why? Screaming, you know what I mean? But we had, as the night went on, Pastor Bill sharing stories about little Oe. And you know what I mean? It was great. You just get a hug on each and every one of them. But we just like, you know what? This whole evening, we're going to be right here in the church house, hanging out with that whole family, all of them. And I'll share this with people I just did before the show. Every Sunday morning, Pastor Bill, religious, he goes up that altar every Sunday morning. And every one of them little grandkids, all boys, it's about 7 of them, I think, roughly, crowd around him. They dive in around him. They're laying on the floor in there around him. And he wraps his two big arms around all of them kids and prays with them. So last night, me and Tom Brandstuhl and Kyle Dunphy, we got in that little corner of that altar and just lifted that corner to little Oe that he will never be forgotten. And it's just, it's tough. It is rough. It's, you know, Pastor Bill was talking Sunday after church. We were just planning 2 courtyard square rallies for Freedom Rally. And he subtitled it, "We Will Not Bow Down." I was talking to Tom Brandstuhl last night about these kids in the school with the mask. And I told Tom, this is ramping us up even more. We are not going to bow down. All these young kids are precious. The fight is on, people. We will not bow down. That's where we're at, or I'm at right now.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, Jeff, I feel you, man. I do. I feel you. I want to move on. Just pray for that family, would you please? I know you will. God bless you guys. I know you will. We had a wonderful event here last night. I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. I drove down yesterday. Yeah, praise God. I'm feeling better than I can't even tell you, better than I've felt in so long. And I was here, and of course, Ohio Brett was here, and Dr. Sherry Tenpenny was here, and we had an unbelievably great, great crowd. I don't know, 250, 300 people. And there's something really, really good going on in America. Something really, really good. And I was telling Dr. Sherry last night over, me and Doc Sherry and Terry and Brett and I, we went to, she hadn't eaten all day. She's a stud. And we were out eating, you know. And I said, Dr. Sherry, you're such a rock star in this thing that's going on. You're such a rock star. And people are so looking for somebody to rally behind. And the room was absolutely packed with mama bears again. Mama bears. I don't know where this thing's going to end. But I know we have to begin even more to really, really begin to engage. I got some ideas, some things I'm going to share with you maybe later on as we get into the show, maybe then. But I just want you guys to know out there with the ChristianRevolution.net that Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is the most worthy person. I'm just telling you, friend. I'm just telling you. And that what she's putting together and what she's trying to, well, what we're all trying to do. She's the one, she got up at, she was, we were, I crawled in bed last night about 11:45. And Sherry Tenpenny had to be at the airport this morning at 5. And Brett got up and drove her to the airport. She didn't gripe, she didn't moan. She'd been gone for 7 days from her home and office. And she said, I got to get home. I got some stuff I got to do. Pray for that. Pray for her. She's on the cutting edge, man, of what's going on. And boy, she spanked him last night. And Dr. Sherry, she said last night, beware out there. Dr. Sherry says it's time to begin to go to these houses of the pastors. She's saying this. These pastors who are lying to their people, it's time to show up outside their houses. It's time for us to begin to go to the personal homes of your city councilmen, your school board members, that we have got to make this personal because it isn't right now. You go, as Jeff knows, and some of you know, you go to the city council meeting, you go to the school board meeting, and they sit up there like they're some kind of high poobahs, and they just kind enough to give you 3 minutes, and then they retreat and do whatever the hell they want to do anyway. It's time that we stand outside their houses. Are you ready for this one? Dr. Sherry says it's time we stood outside the homes of physicians. That they are elbow deep in this whole mess through their cowardice. That they won't stand up and they know, hey, they know what's going on. They know what's going on. And they're selling people down the road for filthy lucre. You guys understand what I'm telling you? Do you really understand that? Do you understand that those doctors in those hospitals, they know what's going on? They know what's going on. They get it. Sherry said some of them are dumb, but it's more than that. They get what's going on. No, it's their own damn filthy lucre. They don't want to stand up and speak out and speak the truth because why? They might get censored by the medical board, whatever the hell that thing is. And so we're going to have to start to amp up our game. It's time. She said, Dr. Sherry said, why would we be cordial to murderers? She said, these guys are murderers. They know what's going on. Oh, they put on a white coat. Now they're infallible. They put on a frock around their neck. And now they're infallible. But these pastors who are telling people or not telling people, or leaving it up to them to take a shot. Are you kidding me? They need to be called out. It was me and her and Brett, and she was really, really passionate about it. You see, but Coach, that doesn't seem very nice. You're killing people. Are you looking at me? The doctors are killing people. I was told last night, under no circumstances. Under no circumstances, go to a hospital. Don't go to a hospital. They're killing sinners. So, great night. Yes, my God. I'm jumping around here, okay? Our grandson, Declan, is fearfully and wonderfully made and doing great. Maggie's great, and Isaiah's great, and it's all good. But how do I rejoice today with what the Dumfries are going through, right? So I'm going to kind of open it up here a bit. I know there was something else I was going to talk about. Didn't get a chance to do. Oh, yeah. Hey, Chad.
You muted, Coach.
Muted.
And we can't tell them because the chat's off.
Not sure what happened there, Coach. Can you hear us?
Hey, Coach, can you hear us there? You're muted.
Brad, I don't think yelling makes it any better.
That's right. Well, guys, just to tag in on that, it was great to have Coach back on the show with us and on the road. Coach is so amazing at what he does, and that audience – in Mooresville, North Carolina, absolutely loved Coach Dave. And it was a powerful night. It was an honor to be there. And Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, it is amazing what the Lord has prepared her to walk out for all of us. But as it's anything, everything we do, it's grounded on Scripture. And it's grounded on us being obedient to God's call in our life. And this team, this huddle, what powerful men and women that we have here on this team. And all of you are an encouragement to me. Dale, you've got your hand raised. Go ahead, Dale. Dale, you took your hand down. Is there anybody else that would like to
go ahead? No.
Go ahead, Dale.
I was trying to get to my mute button. But Bob Enhart, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Bob Enhart. He was pastor of Bible College out in Denver, Colorado. Big radio talk host. I know Coach knows him from, he went to the hospital and he's dead now. And man, let me tell you what, the hate mail that has come across his Facebook page is horrific. It's an amazing thing. You want to talk about the gnashing of teeth. These people, when someone dies, they don't say, oh, you know what? No, they are just gnashing their teeth even at his death. So that was a wicked thing, and I wasn't sure because I know Coach knows that guy personally also. The team, we got three of the guys in. I'm believing that Bobby is and Gary Donahue probably are pulling in this morning down here in Louisiana. And then in Louisiana, we're bracing for anywhere from 6 to a foot of rain over the next 2 days because that's what we need is more rain down here in Louisiana with the flooding. And on top of that, as crazy as people are coming back to their homes and they've got on their apartments, they've got eviction notices on their doors. We've got people price gouging. In other words, people who are out of their houses needing a place to stay. And we're seeing rent in some places almost double, you know, to where nobody has a place to go. I'm telling you that the love of the money is wicked and it's evil down there. And we have a lineup. We got a great work ahead of us. Rain or shine, we're going to deliver the mail. So appreciate it. God bless you.
Larry, looks like you had your hand raised there, Larry.
Yeah, Dale just mentioned that, you know, people are being evicted down there and stuff. During Katrina, one of the biggest needs and long-term needs was for people to have a place to stay until they could get their feet back under them. And people traveled all, you know, they transplanted themselves clear across the United States to different places to do that. I know my mom and dad in Texas, they took a family in a outbuilding that they had on their property that had a little apartment built in it. And right now, my wife and I have always had a couple of bedrooms that we had available to help people out, but both of them are full right now. So we don't have room to bring in a small family or a mother and children or anything from New Orleans and the Ida. But some of y'all do. And some people, you know, people that have room and space. And one of the biggest and best things you can do to help, especially our Christian brothers and sisters that are find themselves without homes down there, is to open your door and offer to share your home with them for a month, 2 months, 6 months, a year, however long it takes for them to get their feet back on the ground. It may take longer this time because the economy is way worse off than it was under Katrina and it's headed in the wrong direction. But that's a need. Thank you for mentioning that, Dale, because that is a great need.
There's the coach.
He's muted again.
Muted, coach.
Listen, thanks. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So listen, here's what happened. All my the noise has gone to my headset. The noise, my I don't know what happened. Okay. I could hear you say, coach, you're muted. You're muted. I wasn't muted. I couldn't hear anything. So I'm back now. And Larry, I just heard what you said there. And that, man, that is deep, deep commitment. But that's what are we about, right? What are we about? Brett, I didn't hear what Brett said. I was listening. I was hearing. I could see him. I could see his mouth moving.
Right. Coach, I let everybody know how great it was to have you back there and how you really lit up that audience church last night. And, Coach, this is one of the greatest things, for me personally, getting to spend time with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. She still doesn't get, I think she gets it, but she doesn't, the role that Coach plays in this and building teams at the local level. You've been doing it for 20 years. This is right. Your wheelhouse.
It is our wheelhouse. It is. And folks, listen, our job is to make some people uncomfortable. That's the way I see it. We have got to make some people. If you guys could have been in the room last night and seen the anger, boiled up anger in those eyes of those people in that room. And you know what their boiled up anger was over? It was over the fact that their families will not listen to them. It's one of the most amazing, my own family. Now my family hasn't taken any shots, but I was having a conversation with Maggie. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say, with one of my daughters the other day regarding the fact that her husband was sick, was fine. And I said, has he taken this? Has he taken, I gave him, did he take this? Did he take this? Did he take this? Did he take this? I lost it all again. You hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And they, my children love me and they know I love them. I said, why won't you do what I ask you to do? Do you think Dr. Fauci loves you more than me? I would do anything for you guys, anything I could possibly do. And yet there's still this tendency to think that Grampy is a conspiracy nut. I don't know how we get by it. I don't know how we get by it. Now, listen, my family's good. None of our kids, no jabs in our family, right? But to still to think that my children, how did we get into the point where my children don't trust me? They trust people that they come across at a church. They trust people that they see in the store. They trust, they won't trust me. Are anybody else dealing with that? What do we do about that?
Yeah.
Amen, coach.
How did we get to that point where our children so literally think what we say is foolishness? They believe in the experts. What do we do? Throw your hand up on that one. Go ahead, Roger.
No profit.
Oh, Dave, I've just been through that. I have nothing else to add, but it's puzzling. I know that my child loves me. I know that
he knows you love him.
Yes, we go to breakfast once a month. But sometimes on these major decisions in their lives, the recent friend that they have befriended has more influence on the topic. It's puzzling. So I share that thought and that concern and would certainly listen to others as to that difficulty. It saddens me, but.
Well, now, Roger, ultimately, Roger, it comes back to the idea of the fourth commandment, honor thy father and mother.
Yes.
Folks, we have allowed through our educational system in general, in particular, we've taught our children to obey the experts, not us. And whether we realize it or not, we're reaping the whirlwind of that. I send my kids to school and tell them to obey their teachers, and their teachers are telling them something that's freaking, we don't even agree with in our home, and they come back in my home and they agree with what the teacher told them. Why not? I told them to.
Well, and it's like they will not ask their dad or their mom at times, just, hey, dad, what do you think? And I'm thinking, I've lived in this world for 61 years. I'm a lawyer. been through a lot of different things. Would I not be one of the first people you'd go to at least inquire?
You think, and right? Talk to? Other people.
I don't demand that they follow me, but would I not be in the circle of influence on major topics?
And Roger, how could your influence be so little that they believe they're friends? Yeah. Hey, Roger, help me out here. Don't people pay you a lot of money for advice?
They, every day, I'm a rock star in the office with advice. People come in. They don't always follow what I say, but they at least come in for guidance and direction, and some follow and some don't. But sometimes in your own household, whether they view you as a conspiracy theorist or you're just old dad, it's puzzling. It's been a puzzling 48, 70 hours for me on a similar topic.
Yeah, it's anybody else on that one? Somebody raised their hand. I'm sorry. Help me out, Spence.
Yeah, I got one. Hey, I've been through this many times with my kids, too. I used to rock my head up against the wall. Look, this is the way that it is. And then he decided to do it another way. Like, Mom, don't matter. There's a lot of things that my daughter tells me now when she was growing up. Because I asked her, how come you didn't listen to me? She said, because the teacher and the guidance counselor at school was telling her that wasn't the way to do it.
But Luann, you did the same thing when you were a kid.
Yes, I did.
Right. So you reap what you sow. Come on in, Reggie.
I saw you last night, Coach. You got sent a picture that was so amazing. It made me laugh. I'm not going to tell everybody here, but it was so cute. You're great. Brett sent me a picture with you standing on chairs. I just died laughing.
they love it, man. Listen, hey, Reggie, I don't fake any of that, man.
I know. I love it.
The Holy Spirit hits me and I do it. You know? Go ahead.
I love it. So one of the things that, well, obviously, Coach, you guys know I indoctrinated my kids. I homeschooled them and I indoctrinated them. But it drives me mad that they come and say, do you know this is what's happening, Mom? You know that ivermectin is blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting there just aghast. I'm like, this, it's maddening, and it's in every
household.
It's in every household.
So this is the crazy part of it. Ivermectin, we were discussing that. Of course, it was a big topic of conversation last night, right? Hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. And you have to ask people this one question. Should people who are on their deathbed be permitted to take a medicine that might make them sick? And they just look at you. What? People who are dying in the hospital, should they be able to take a pill that might make him sick? It's like, that's where we are, right? Trust the experts. Who's up, Spence?
Morning, Coach.
Morning.
This goes back to what you were discussing earlier about finding out where these people are and harassing them. If you use Google, say, for instance, my city, I live in Muncie. So if I wanted to find out where my city council lived or anything like that, basically just do a county parcel search. So for me, it would be Delaware County, Indiana, and then put in like parcel search. This is publicly available information where these people live. Their houses are registered with the city. So if you want to find where they live, do a parcel search.
So why would we go to their bailiwick, the school board, and expect them, where they have all that power and authority, and they treat you like a common whatever, give you 3 minutes? Why wouldn't we go to their house and ask the questions that they won't ask us publicly? They won't let us ask publicly, nor will they answer, even though they work for you. See, we've got to up our game. We have to up our game. Now, listen. All your Christian friends are going to say, oh, that's not very nice. That's not very kind. We are at war. And we got to call these people out. Remember Alinsky's rules for radicals. People hurt before institution. Target people. go to the president of the school board's house and stand out there and say whatever it is you want to put on that sign. By the way, there are sidewalks in front of these people's homes. They live in a town or whatever, just like you do. And they are not protected just because they happen to be a public official and can go hide in executive session. That's my take on it. Dr. Sherry really, she really got under my skin in a good way last night as she was explaining that to me. Come on in, somebody. All right. Well, let's run down to Naomi. Let Naomi come in, because God bless Naomi. She drove 4 hours to be there last night. I honor you for that, Naomi. God bless you.
Thank you. It was worth it. And I just wanted to say, number one, we homeschooled our daughter, and she goes to everybody else before she comes to me. But thankfully, they are not going to be doing the jab. They're on board with that. But I wanted to say, too, you talked about getting outside your comfort zone. I talked to Dr. Tenpenny when she first got there last night. And she is still dealing with whatever happened at Bard's Fest. And she's not had the opportunity, like Coach, to go home and rest up. And she told me she was there and her stomach was feeling like razor blades was cutting through it like crazy. But yet she pushed through and still did the talk. She was amazing. It boggles my mind that still some people, she'll answer a question and somebody else, it's like they've got hearing issues or something, the same exact question. And she just handled it in such a diplomatic, awesome way. And it was really worth it.
She's very, very direct. If you come to her complaining about whatever, her response, after you ask your question, her response would be, what'd you expect? Right? We need more of that kind of talk, right? What'd you expect?
Exactly.
They've captured our freaking schools. What'd you expect? Right? They've captured your city council. What do you expect? They've captured your library board. What do you expect? They've captured your medical board. What do you expect? Right? We got to shake our heads and say, yeah, what do we expect? Because we're going to get exactly what we deserve if we don't stand up quickly and push back against this stuff. Betty Perkins, Glenn, I just saw Glenn Claremont's hand went up, and then Betty Perkins. Go ahead, Glenn. I'm sorry. Some of you are probably in line ahead of Glenn. I just saw it. Go ahead, Glenn.
Hey, just wanted to tell everybody, if you're friends with a pastor or you know a pastor and you can contact them. I saw Dr. Sherry is running a webinar for pastors. So if you go to her website, you'll see that. Share that with your pastor.
Amen, Glenn. Hey, Glenn, listen. Hey, folks, I have a lot of pastor friends. I have a lot of pastors, I have a lot of pastor enemies, all right? They have done a horrible, horrible job. They do not deserve the honor we're giving them for what a horrible job they have done. We are in the mess we are in because of the silence of the pulpits regarding this pandemic. That is, hey, folks, hey, they know what Sherry say. What'd you expect? They need to be called out. They need to be embarrassed for what they have permitted to go on. And I'm not going to say the name, as one of our people in the queue said to me, he went to his pastor and he asked his pastor, did you take the jab? Well, he didn't want to answer, right? Finds out, no, he didn't take his jab. Did your wife take the jab? No, neither one of us took the jab. So let me ask you this, pastor, he said to him, you didn't take it and your wife didn't take it, but you left it up to me and my wife to make our own decision on it? What? You knew you shouldn't take that vaccination and you never said it to me? You never stood up in the pulpit and said to people, don't take it? That hits home, doesn't it, folks? That's where it is, baby. That's exactly where it is. Come on in, Betty.
Hey, good morning. Today's the big day.
I know there's a lot of tension between my family, but you're right. Because I won't get the jab and just kind of just I stand up for what I believe in. You know, the tension's there. They think I say I take ivermectin, I tell you what, they just freak out. You know, it's amazing. But it is the love of God or the love of money. And they, a lot of my family love the money. You know, yeah, it's that. We're going to get through this, and I'm leaving in the morning.
Bless
so
you, Betty.
I'll be heading home. So
you're a faithful warrior.
And now meet my friend, very friendly. If you can see her, Shirley, she works here at the hotel. So she is a warrior too. So I'm getting a lot of people interested up here for you know, to stand up for the Christian revolution and for you. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Betty. God bless you, Betty. Wow. I'm sorry. Tracy, come on in. She just popped up on my screen.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everyone. I just wanted to let you know I was at a meeting last night and we had a huge group of nurses show up. First time ever at the meeting. They have nothing to lose. So they're speaking out because they are going to lose their jobs because they don't want to take the vaccine. And why? Because they know the truths.
So
they are speaking out. What, coach?
Shouldn't Christians be defending them? Wouldn't that seem like a good thing to do for our society, for Christian people to stand up and speak the truth?
Yes, exactly. They were crying. It was so emotional. And they're pleading to people, wake up, because 50% of the medical staffs will walk out. What is that going to do to our health care?
Folks, do you get that? 50% of those medical staffs are going to walk out? Did you guys, I saw this last night. I wish I had more time. There was a video by a soldier, an Air Force guy. And do you guys know this? That 18 of our finest, most accomplished jet pilots walked off. Did you guys know that? Did you know that? Now, we say, yay, good. Oh, who flies them planes, boys and girls? Who flies those planes? And what? I hate to double back. No, I don't. It's because the guys in the pulpits don't have the balls to tell us the truth.
Taliban's going to fly those planes.
The Taliban's going to fly those planes, Larry. That's right. And the men in the pulpit, afraid to stand up and speak the truth. And I know. I'm going in circles.
Dave, I got my hand up.
Go ahead, Jack, or whoever. Jack, go.
Okay. Listen, guys, I'm ready to scream. 2 years ago, we had 5 religious freedom bills that went through our legislature against religious freedom. They were anti-God. And we put citizens' petitions in to veto these things. And the Christian Coalition of Maine, the oldest Christian organization in the state, would only support 2 of the 5 because that's all they thought they might be able to win.
Wow.
And so now we have everybody screaming, wait a minute, that's against my religious freedom. And the pulpit, the leaders, the ones that everybody follows, wouldn't take it on because it was a little too much to do. But they would also wouldn't even endorse and say, look, we picked these, but there's these others here too. And these guys are doing that. They refused and, in fact, locked us out. And I know the guy personally. And every time he sees me, he turns the other direction.
He better, right?
I'm so tired of it.
We need to call out the traitors amongst us, friends. We have met the enemy, and it is us. Come on in, Joseph.
This fight is nothing new. You know, I fought it back in the Gulf War when they were trying to give us anthrax. Now my son, he's got 16 years in reserves, been over there twice, and they want to give him the shot. I told him, you know, I got military pride here. I told him, I said, son, this is going to hurt me to say this. Get the hell out. Get Amen. Out of the military.
Amen. 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 The devastating effect. Dr. Sherry said, I said, Doc, when's this going to happen? When are people going to start dying? She said, Coach, 3 months. Now, I don't know. I told Ohio Brett today as I was getting up and getting ready for the show. Did you guys see this? Of course you didn't. Former NFL player, 37 years old, drops over dead. Just a coincidence. He probably took some ivermectin. That's probably what did it to him, right? And they said cause of death not disclosed. Well, we know what the cause of death was, right? Come on. We know what the cause of death was. He took that vaccine and he got blood clots and he had a heart attack or a stroke. Folks, this is real. This is right now in front of us, right now today. And like I said to him last night, they were kind of stunned. I said, listen, folks, some of your family are going to be dead. They're going to die. The reality of it, they're going to die. And everybody was, not everybody, that's an overworked term. Everybody's heart's broken because they all have loved ones who have taken it. How have our pastors allowed this to happen?
Amen.
Is that Mark?
Amen, Coach.
Mark, I just kind of, well, I don't know. I'm on it though, right, Mark? Listen, hey, friends, listen. Pastor Tom, yo, I love you. Okay, I love you. Pastor Dale, I love you. I love you. Our pastors missed their time in history to stand up and be brave. They didn't do it. They capitulated. We are in the mess we are in because of the cowards in the pulpit. And I've tried to help you understand that John 10, if I hear one more guy say, the devil has come to kill and to steal and to destroy, I'm going to have a freaking conniption, because that is not what the Bible tells us. It tells us what? The thief has come but to kill and to steal and to destroy. And as you read John 10, who is the thief? Anybody want to help me out there? Who is the thief? Warned right there in John 10:10. Who's the thief?
Pastors.
Hireling pastors. That's where we are. Walked in. Oh, I got to be careful. I got to be careful what I say. Mark, real quickly, Mark, because I know this. I'm sorry, folks. I can't see you have their hands raised. Mark, this, I've told anybody that'll listen to me. That I was, by the way, Dr. Sherry has some evidence of the fact that we were poisoned, for lack of a better term, at Bard's Fest. We were poisoned. Something was released at Bard's Fest. Many, many people got sick, right? And I'm trying to tell as many people who will listen, although they won't listen, what I had for the last 2.5 weeks, it wasn't a virus. I had I had something electronic going on inside me, folks. Go listen to your family doctor if you want to. Go ahead and do that. And listen to your daughter and your daughter's brother who works at the hospital. He's a janitor at the hospital, and he knows what's going on in the hospital. You listen to him. But what is happening is an electrical charge, that graphite. Mark, can you just take a couple minutes and just explain for us dummies here who still believe Fauci?
What happened is, I'm sitting here with my wife, I'm watching how it's made, and they're making alkaline batteries. And one of the primary ingredients is graphene in a battery. Okay, so I'm sitting here watching them, why they choose graphite for batteries. And you look it up, and that's what's in the jab, 10 to the 9 power. So if everyone took a pencil and wrote 10,000,000,000, that's how many particles are in one jab. So you got all of these properties of magnetism and conductivity. Why do they put graphene in a battery? What have I been saying? We're batteries. They're turning us into power and communication systems. They can set your blood cells in a binary way and use your blood for storage. They can turn you into a memory unit. All of this is electrical. So what I would recommend to Coach is to have heavy metal testing. Okay. A lot of these electrical systems are metal-based. Alzheimer's metal-based. The jab is metal-based. It's the primary ingredient. 10 to the 9 particles of graphene. These are shaped, however, like little hexagons. Look up the construction of graphene and look it up. They're little hexagon antennas. And that's the molecular structure that's assembling, creating blood clots. Okay? That's it. You're on it. So whenever you do that, whatever you're feeling is transmitted outside you into other people. It's not just what you're feeling. It's your programming with this stupid vaccination.
Mark, I shared this the other day, and I want to share it again because I can't explain this to people enough. I spent about 6 hours of sleep one night when I was totally, completely asleep and totally and completely awake. I can't even explain it. And I was laying there, Mark, in my mind asleep, totally awake. And I'm wondering, Lord, am I ever going to wake up out of this? How am I ever going to get out of this, Lord? What? I had no control of anything. My mind was fully engaged and I was totally asleep. And I got up in the morning and went to the bathroom. I was finally able to force myself out of bed and went into the bathroom, and my mind began to clear. But Mark, I'm telling you the truth. I didn't know if I was ever going to have my mind back.
It's electrical. We're electrical. Now we can control our resistance through mental behavior. If you're stressed, if you're trained in the military, they teach you if you're stressed, your body resistance can be as low as 30 ohms. So you're more prone to electrical shock. So if you're a stressed worker, they remove you from the environment. If you have problems at home, they keep an eye on you. Your typical body resistance should be around 300 ohms. You can do that mentally. So you can change your resistance mentally. Your resistance is your immunity. If you're at 30 ohms, your immune system is basically not working well. You're stressed. Your frontal lobe's disengaged. Your limbic system's active. Your blood cells are rigid. And if you're at 300 ohms and you're behaving properly because you got the blood of Christ and faith, then you worry less and you're more immune resistant. You see? This is truth. This is truth. We're electrical beings controlled by our mind. Our will is what promotes the fears. And what controls your will and all of that, what spirit do you listen to? Y'all have heard all the rest. But, Coach, you're on it. We're electrical beings, and we can control our resistance, our electrical properties, through Jesus Christ.
Mark, I want you to know, Mark, that I haven't always understood. I want you to know how much I love you and how you've educated me and opened my mind up to understand what's really, really going on, to know that when people come around and say, do you have COVID? I want to hit them right in the freaking mouth. I said, why the hell would you even ask me that? Do I have COVID? What do you mean, do I have COVID? Do you guys understand? This thing inside me ain't a virus. This ain't a virus. Now, Dr. Sherry, I'm not going to drop a dime on anybody. Dr. Sherry told me last night that she has evidence of the weapon that was released to Bard's Pest. She's been researching it. She has evidence of it. She knows what it is. Folks, this is stuff is so real. Well, God bless you, Mark. Thanks. Hey, because Mark, you know, in a lot of ways, you swim upstream. You tell us over and over and over and over, and we don't get it.
I've been thinking this a lot. I know why Enoch would have to go away for 100 years. Because I get so frustrated. My fuse is so short. And that's the area I'm weak. Pray for that. Amen. Pray for my fuse. Pray for giving me God's words.
Amen. Amen.
Pray for righteous anger. I brought one piece of news for y'all today. Did y'all know that Massachusetts is using National Guard to drive their school buses?
No. No.
So now you got the National Guard involved, yes, in our children's delivery of children. Now think about, God, if this goes nationwide, who's police force? Pelosi's?
Oh, Mark, stop it. Stop it. I got enough to juggle in this electrical short brain I have anyway.
Oh, we're going to have that same situation right here, Coach.
Yeah,
14 of the 30 bus drivers are not going to get the jab, and they're going to get fired. One half.
Wow. Praise the Lord, I guess.
Good morning, Coach. This is Dave from Michigan Huddle.
Hey, Dave.
Good morning. Hey, good morning. Hey, it's great to be able to call in this morning. Our group had our first event on September 11th outside the Air National Guard base just north of Detroit. It was a great event. It was to protest the jab. And I had a great crowd there. And it was a real eye-opener for us because we were there for several hours watching the troops come and go from the base. And you quickly come to realize that, hey, these are just mostly these guys are kids. They're 20 years old, right?
Right.
And I would say only about 50% of them even reacted to our signs and our waving, our flags. We had about roughly between 75. We grouped up. We joined up with some other groups. And there was roughly about 100 people there.
And amen.
Which was a good crowd.
Amen. And,
so anyways, it was great for our group because it really energized them to see when you come together in unity for a common cause. They really got energized and they're really excited. Yeah. We had a great time.
Amen.
But the sad part of it is there are a few troops that flipped us off. And so that kind of tells you where we're at. And so people think that if you think the military is going to come and rescue us if things go south, I want you to rethink that. And I don't believe me, I honor all the people who have served. And I don't speak this disrespectfully, but you got to remember the people that are in the service right now, they've had, many years of indoctrination in the public schools.
That's right.
So they're used to social communism. The so anyways, truth, yeah. Coaches, I could go on for a long time. We had one exciting thing did happen. There was one big guy came up. We were outside. We checked this out, and it was a legal spot where we were protesting. But a big guy came out, and he was a service guy, and he says, "You guys got to get out of here. You guys got to move." And he says, "And I'm only warning you once." And one of the guys stepped up, and he says, "Sir, I'm not warning you. But we checked this out. This is public property. We have a right to be here. So unless you show up with a Macomb County sheriff and a band of tow trucks, we're not moving. We're not going anywhere."
Amen.
You know what? We never seen that guy again. And we stayed there the whole day and we had a great time. And one service member did stop and join our crowd. So it was a great day. So, Coach, I just want to let you know we're getting organized here in Michigan.
Yeah.
And so we're making up for all the stuff that Bo did back in the day.
Yeah.
And we're –
let's get an event up. I'd love to come up and encourage you guys. I'd love to come up.
We'll be there in October.
All right, man. Great.
God bless you.
Folks, listen, this is it, man. I'm telling you, courage engenders courage. It just does. And people, when they come out and they just do the simple honking waves and all that stuff, it encourages them when they go home and they'll come back. John Diamond wants to jump in. Go ahead, John. Can't hear you, John. I'm sorry. I'm sure there's a lot of you lined up and want to get in. I can't see him. I'm sorry. John, I can't. I'm trying to get you in here, dude. Roger, who else? Give me somebody, Spencer, who's been hanging there a while. Craig. God bless you, Craig.
Coach, can you hear me?
Now we do.
Okay. I got a little background, Joel. I'm in an 18-wheeler. Hey, got horses, come off the mountain, sweating like crazy, put a bucket of water in front of them. They don't drink. I'm like, are you kidding me? But you know what I do? I leave that bucket of water down there on the ground. And about 15, 20, 30 minutes, they come over and they'll take it when they want to. The information you're giving your families, don't take it personal. Okay? They're going to come around because the evidence is going to be coming around. So let me give you another example. 30 years in the fire department, we initiated this thing called safety in a neighborhood. We would go through our area, and we would knock on doors from Saturday from about 1 to 4 or something like that and say, hey, can we check your smoke detector, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I got stuff to do today. Okay, now, 6 months forward, guess what? Had a house fire about a block down the street. Everybody seen the fire trucks and the smoke. guess what we do the next 2 or 3 days? Go back into that neighborhood. Knock on the door and say, hey, can we check your smoke detector? Oh, yes, please. Oh, will you please? And I got this question. Coach, we need to get together a package that will explain in simple terms what's going on a CD that we can give our loved ones and pastors and all that and say, hey, we're giving this, you know, call it whatever. We love you. We want to tell you the truth. And when they start seeing people drop, or they themselves start having these blood clot issues, they're going to be like that horse. Hmm. They're going to go drink that CD. They're going to say, tell me more.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We got to, Craig, you're all over it, man. We have to prepare for that, right?
We can do this, Coach. We can put this information together with what you're getting and the resources and the people that you're doing.
Yeah.
Before they take it down on the internet, I'm telling you, you're going to say, hey, go to this guy and watch him on the internet. And guess what? It's not going to be there.
He ain't going
to
be
we
there.
We have to capture it, just like you're capturing your videos right now with Spencer and all that. We got to do it before it's gone.
Actual discs that we can share, right, Craig? We've become so internet reliable, right? That now we
and a piece and, of paper. Let's go back to the horse and buggy. Let's give him a piece of paper to read.
Amen. Amen. Good point. How much time I got? I got 4 minutes. Somebody bring him in there. I'm sorry, I left some of you guys hanging so long. Who's up, Spence? Susan Fisher Anderson. Come on in, Susan.
Good morning, Coach. The devil's not playing. No. And when we see all these tragedies happening in God-fearing families, the devil is not playing. And
amen.
A prophet is not without honor, saving his own country.
That's right.
And you'd be amazed how many of my kids and grandkids don't have any respect for Pastor Sam, who you all know has a mighty anointing on his life. And Jesus said it would happen.
He did.
In families, father against daughter. My daughter-in-law is a nurse, and half of her family has taken the jab, and half of them didn't. All of my kids in Connecticut have taken the jab because they're locked down. Hmm. And, you know, what can I do but pray for them? I've been telling them this for as long as they've been alive, but still. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country.
Amen.
And
amen.
The devil's not playing.
Thank you, Susan. Pastor Tom, I know you tried to get in earlier. I saw. Did you want to? Are you still in the queue? Did you want to say something? After I beat up on pastors, just telling the truth. Hey, the Ohio State Buckeyes got beat because the coaching staff sucked. I'm not allowed to say the pastor sucked. I'm not allowed to say that. I just said it. Pastors suck. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, they do sometimes, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Well, I've lost a few different families. Been here for quite a while when this thing started because I said from the get-go that it was a farce. And because I was being, I think, too direct because they had loved ones that worked at a hospital where they different things like that. My daughter and her husband last Sunday, they woke up a little late. So instead of coming up here, service, I'd ask her, I said, so did you guys go, you know, anywhere today? And she said, yeah. And she told, and I kind of knew down in Lancaster, there's a big church, one of the biggest ones in Lancaster. I made this little video about Romans 8. You know, of course, blah, 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 about obeying laws of land. And I said, so did they separate the sheep and the goats? and they are literally still, if you didn't get the shot and you come in without a mask, you're sinning. But they literally separate. They'll put people who say they didn't get the shot. You got to wear a mask and you sit on that side of the room. And the ones that got the shot, you don't have to wear a mask, and you can sit on the other side of the room.
They used to call that segregation, Tom. I'm looking at the clock. I got to run. They used to call that segregation.
Okay, I'll let you go. Listen, praying for you guys all, and be encouraged because there's more of us than there are with them.
There are, folks. Hey, listen. You know, one of the things I hear a lot, is, Coach, you're too direct. You turn people off. Hey, I ain't looking for any more friends. I'm a freaking war. And if you need your back rubbed, call Tom Gill. Don't call me. I'm not going to rub your back and tell you what a brave little Christian soldier you are. Maybe Tom will tell you that. Maybe your 6-foot icicle will tell you that. But I'm raising up an army of men and women who understand the times in which they live and know what it is that we need to do. Not talk about, not theorize.
I ain't telling them that.
Go to Tom. He'll tell you the truth. But I'll
tell you the truth, and I'll put you under some weight and make you do your own lifting.
Carry on. Dale, I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about what's going on down there.
No, brother, you don't have to apologize. We good, man. I got a nice little scripture. We got to remember, we're in a battle. Revelations at the ending of chapter 12. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children.
Wow, that'd be awesome.
Who keep the commandments of God and hold true to the testimony of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen on that one. God bless you.
Folks. Amen.
We'll see you tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Coach, this is Debbie. Debbie. I just want to tell you something really, really important. I just saw that National Geographic has made a movie, a feature-length movie on Fauci and his life. They've got his grandkids and his wife, and he's walking through this cemetery and all this. So they're losing. So they're going to put this in theaters. And so if you want someplace to protest, find out where that crap is in your city.
Yeah.
Amen.
Go watch a movie on Fauci. Nah, sorry. Got to run. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, I got to.